You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Well, let's turn our attention now to Shell, which has been operating in South Africa for over 100 years. And you might have read at the weekend that it is on the verge of exiting the country, reportedly because of a fallout with its longtime BEE partner, the Tebi Investment Corporation. I'm joined now by political and economic commentator Kai Sitoli. And Kai, first up then, how are you assessing the state of affairs?
Well, I think the first problem is that, unfortunately, due to a problem of timing, there's a conflation of issues. And what that means is that the fallout or the dispute between Tebi and Shell has actually been going on for the better part of the past 2 years. And at the heart of the dispute is the fact that Tebi notified Shell that it wanted to exercise its rights to sell some of its shareholding. It is currently a 28% shareholder in a part of the Shell business. And when they said they wanted to activate that clause of selling a part of the shareholding, the agreement that was signed many years ago says that, well, you simply need to get a valuation of that stake and then we can talk. What Shell did is that it provided information to Tebi, which was to be used as the basis for the valuation. Tebi then came back and said, well, based on this information, this is how much the stake is worth, only for Shell to turn around and say, well, actually, the information that we gave you to actually value that stake is no longer relevant. It's outdated information. Here's new information. And the new information came back with a materially different number. So that's been the heart of the dispute for the past 2 years, where there isn't an agreement on what the value of Tebi's stake in this business is. The question of Shell exiting the South African business is a completely new story that unfortunately emerged whilst there was still this deadlock or this gridlock on the BE stake. So now suddenly sounds like they're related, but they're actually not.
How do you think this is going to culminate then?
So I think obviously in relation to the resolution around Tebi's involvement in the Shell business, the problem, Jeremy, is that the agreement made provision for the big four auditing firms to be the ones that get tasked to do the valuation of the stake. And unfortunately, as it turns out, all four auditing firms are actually conflicted in one way or another. So we actually cannot find one of the big four auditing firms to do a valuation that both parties are willing to accept. So my understanding is that that has now obviously led to a process of arbitration where somebody has to step in and say, well, if these four cannot do it, who can? And that's how that part is going to get resolved. The secondary question of whether actually Shell wants to remain invested in the South African value chain as it currently is probably an issue relating to how the refineries business in particular in South Africa has been affected over the past couple of years. I think you'll remember what we heard about the refineries down in the coast that actually cannot be kept going on the basis that no one is willing to put up the cash and the resources. And I think it's a bigger South African problem where we have to evaluate whether we actually need to do something different in managing those particular assets so that companies like Shell and other investors that are already part of the South African petroleum ecosystem can remain invested. And at this stage, it's not very clear who's going to be the big, you know, the big voices in the room that get us a decision that moves us forward.
Would it be in both parties' interests to try and resolve this issue, or better that they walk away?
I think it's in everybody's interest that we see a resolution in this. And obviously, Shell's business is the type of business that would like to remain invested in the South African value chain across all its levers. So it's not the type of decision that even the asset allocators or the capital allocators of Shell will take lightly. But obviously, they have evaluated what their spectrum of possibilities are, and they've decided that a part of the South African business probably isn't as attractive as it used to be. So therefore, they're happy to exit that part of the business. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that people are going to stop using those products overnight. So it's simply a matter of if they do put up those assets for sale, who is going to be the one that takes them up and whether they can run them efficiently enough for them to believe that it is worth, directing capital towards acquisition of those assets. So if it does materialize, it will simply be a matter of somebody has to step up and actually take over those assets in order to keep them going. South Africa's appetite for the consumption of those products is going to remain regardless of who's in charge of those particular assets.
Is there somebody waiting in the wings in that respect?
It's capitalism 101. There's always somebody waiting in the wings. And obviously, it will be interesting to see if even some of the bigger BEE players, some of the bigger empowerment partners, then see this as an opportunity to tap into what may well turn out to be a lucrative asset. And the reason we say may well turn out to be a lucrative asset is that, unfortunately, when you have one side of the conversation that says that a 28% stake within this business is useless, you're kind of making it very difficult for anyone who wants to buy the remaining business, whether it's 72%, whether it's entire 100%. citizen to then believe they should be paying a lot more for it. So it's not very clear what Shell's big PR strategy is in this communication, because if you are going to tell us that the stake, that the 28% stake that Tebe owns is worthless, you can't just telling everybody that, well, the rest of the business is worth much value, unless there's some complexities that we are not aware of. So it's going to be an interesting one to observe over the next few months as Shell essentially tries to explain how one other part of the business is worthless, and yet the rest of the business should be lucrative enough to someone for someone to snap it up.
That's interesting, because it is a valuable brand. It's a well-recognized brand in South Africa, but globally it has had environmental issues, hasn't it?
I think all of these players, obviously, are struggling with the question of how they maintain their capacity to retain their business models as they are, and also be responsive to what has obviously been the big demand that we've seen over the past couple of decades for companies to be a bit more responsive to responding to the issues and the risks that we've seen emerging, particularly in relation to climate change. So it's not a problem that's unique to Shell. What is of interest is that every single business is obviously figuring out how to best manage that particular question around the transition and balancing its portfolio essentially to ensure that, well, even if investors and stakeholders say, but you have quite deep exposure in the fossil fuel industry, they can say, but actually the rest of our portfolio is green enough for us to be able to say that we are actually executing our business model with some level of responsibility. So it's actually a universal problem that all companies in the mold of Shell are actually dealing with.
Kaya Sitoli, thank you very much.